We wanted everything. Everything this morning, even though it's bright, bright outside, we tried to darken it in here so that we would get the idea, just a little taste of how dark it was at night. The Christmas story. How many of you really know it? To many people, Christmas is all about the morning of what we call Christmas Day, as I said. For many of us, you might have the same memories of waking up very early. I remember one Christmas being very, I don't know if it was bold, courageous, or stupid. But I got up at about 5 in the morning with my younger sister and older brother. I was probably no more than 6 years old. And we snuck down to the family room that was always closed, and we were never allowed in there until we had all had breakfast. But we said we were going to sneak in there and get a peek, and nobody's going to get... nobody's going to know the better. We're just going to sneak in and then sneak out. We went in that room, and in the shadows, I saw a new bike. In the shadows, my older brother saw his things, I forget. And then we turned around, just after taking a peek, and there was my dad sleeping on the couch. Creaking open an eye, going, boo! This little six-year-old... Needed cardiopulmonary resuscitation that morning. I never went in there again that early. But Christmas is about usually hastily eating breakfast, rushing into the family room, ripping open the presents, and then it's over, and yet we call it Christmas. Well, Christmas actually happened late one night. It was different than most any of us would have ever imagined. And it would be good to go back to that Christmas night and see just how simple, how tender that event was that changed the darkness of this world forever. In Luke chapter 2, I want to go over the Christmas story and just bring out some amazing truths in our Bible this morning. I know it's dark. I was debating whether to turn the lights on, but I kind of thought the atmosphere would remain with us a little longer. You can just put up with me. And it came to pass in those days that there went out from Caesar Augustus a decree that all the world should be taxed. Has anything changed? Still trying to raise taxes. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I want to talk a little bit this morning about that first Christmas night. And I want to say, first of all, get the idea. Most of us, when we read the Christmas story, we're reading around a fire. We're reading to our children. And we're warm. We're comfortable. We have toys under the tree. Everything's happy, right? But that first Christmas night, it was full of trouble. They had traveled 60 miles. And remember, Mary was very pregnant. She had ridden on the back of a donkey, and donkeys don't ride easy. So they had traveled for at least a week, and had arrived back at their ancestral home, where they were supposed to sign a document and prove that they were who they were and pay a certain tax and so on and so forth. Hey, did you realize back 2,000 years ago, it was a guy in Rome that taxed people in Israel. It was a European tax that drove Mary and Joseph back to their home. And they didn't have much money. That little village of Bethlehem was filled to capacity. There was absolutely no space left anywhere in any house that they knew. And even the guest inn was bursting at the seams. They were turned away everywhere. And Mary was having contractions. You know, babies only come when it's the most inconvenient. Amen? They never are born at 10:30 in the morning, after just 1 hour of labor. You know how it is. Isn't it right, Martin? You wake up 3 in the morning, time to go to the hospital, and then you know. And there they were offered a stable, a place where horses and sheep and other cattle stayed during the night. Well, at least it would be warm, but there wasn't much more there. Oh, listen, if any of you have a bad day this week, why don't you remember Christmas Eve? Amen. It not only was a troubled night, it was a timely night. In Galatians 4:4 it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." It was a timely night. This was no series of unfortunate events. The things that were happening were all happening according to plan. God's plan. Promises that were made almost 4,000 years earlier were all coming to pass. And hundreds of precious prophecies were being fulfilled to the letter. It was the right time. Okay, so it was nighttime. So they were 60 miles away from home. And believe me, when we think of 60 miles, we think of nothing. It takes us only an hour or less, depends on how fast you drive, an hour to get 60 miles. But in those days, if you walked it, 10 miles a day is the normal trek you might walk. If you were really healthy, you might do 20 miles. But they were at least a week away of traveling. None of us have traveled an entire week to get anywhere. Do you understand? They were far away from home. And no one was caring about their needs, and they left them. You ever heard the phrase, out in the cold? Joseph and Mary invented that phrase. Amen. But the timing was just right. It was the right time. Things were about to happen that would change all nights forever. It was also a together night. I think this is very important. Just going here, looking at verse 4. It says, "And Joseph went up from Galilee." He didn't go alone. He didn't leave his wife with her family. He said, "You know what, Mary? You and I are married. We're together." And I like that. Now, I know that she has to travel on that, but they both had to go, and they went together. "Out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And he went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And I want you to see this. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." This was a together time. You know, I know most of us look under our tree and we always think there should be more gifts. If you were to be honest, we feel guilty sometimes. We go, "Oh, I need to get so-and-so a gift. I need to do so-and-so. I need to, you try to add up all the amount of money that you spent on so-and-so and such children. You go, "Boy, I hope I haven't forgotten anybody in our family or extended family or whatever." Do you know what Joseph and Mary had? They had a family. And they didn't have a single gift. They had no Christmas tree. They had no Christmas lights. But they had each other. And that was the first Christmas Eve. And I'm telling you, if you've got a family, some of you are unmarried, I'm sorry. But you know, if you've got a wife, if you've got a husband, you have a precious gift. If you have children, you have something marvelous. Maybe you won't sleep at night, but you will realize just how great that gift is. Joseph loved Mary. Do you know, some people think that it was a marriage of convenience for them to get married, but not according to my Bible. It was Joseph who pursued Mary and wanted to marry her before she ever found herself with child from the Holy Ghost. They were in love. It was one of those picture book relationships, and Mary loved Joseph. By the way, after Jesus was born, they had at least 6 more children. I think they were in love. Amen. They had each other. Christmas is about family being together. And it's not only when times are good. Listen to me, this family stuck together when it was hard, when they had to travel, when they didn't have any money. Do you know what they had to do? They had to take an old blanket or something and tear strips from it in order to make a baby cloth, what we call rags, but what the Bible calls swaddling clothes. That's what they wrapped the baby in. That was the kind of money they had. The money they had was going for taxes. And there they were in that barn. But they had each other. Folks, if you have family around you this year, okay, for those of you who are single, you got mom and dad. You've got brothers and sisters. You've got aunts and uncles. You've got some people that you need to go and hug and say, "I love you." And Christmas changed my life. And I never want to forget the gifts I have. Who cares what's under the tree or what's not under the tree? I already have my Christmas. If you have family, you better love on them. You better, and listen, let me say this. Some of you, you've got plenty of food. You've got plenty of gifts under the tree. You've got everything taken care of. But you know, there's some people who maybe doesn't have any place to go at Christmas. There might be somebody in this room here that's going to be lonely this Christmas. Some of us need to keep our eyes open and say, hey, what are you doing for Christmas dinner? And invite them over. Because that's what Christmas is about. No one should be alone at Christmas.
Don't go up further. Yeah, I'm good.
It was they not only had family, but they also had visitors. Guess who shows up for that Christmas Eve there? It says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were terrified. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not to kings only, not to nobles and princes and wealthy, and not to people who have nice homes, but to you shepherds who are stuck out here taking care of these sheep, is born a Savior. And this shall be a sign unto you, a miraculous sign. You shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was a shock even to the shepherds to hear of such a thing. They lived in and out of stables. And here was somebody, an angel, saying the Messiah was going to be born in their back garden. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, hey, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now I want you to understand, this is, you know, the angels collected above these plain, smelly old shepherds. And they appeared to them and they said, go calling. You know, I think the first St. Stephen's Day was Christmas Eve, amen. I know Christmas Eve we sort of settled, we have family all around. But at that first Christmas Eve, people came calling. They were some terribly smelly shepherds who came to there, and there must have been dozens of shepherds gathered around that little baby. But you know, nobody was talking. Nobody was bowing to Mary. Do you know what they were doing? They were sitting in awe of the promised Son of God right there in their midst. There He was, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, in such a delicate, frail condition as a baby in swaddling clothes. Now, not only did they have family and they had visitors, but they also had the skeptics. Now, watch what happens when these shepherds decide, hey, let's go tell some more folks. It says this, and when they had seen the baby, they made known the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all that heard it, again, they went to the village of Bethlehem, and all that heard it, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now I want you to understand, they would come knocking on the door and says, you've got to come see this sight. The Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Christ, has been born, and He's born in the stable. And they went, huh? Boy, that's interesting. Thanks. And they closed the door. You know, isn't that funny? They went back to their parties. They went back to their families. They went back to their things. And they missed. You know, people couldn't be bothered sometimes. Isn't that a shame? They missed this miraculous Christmas Eve. A lot of people love to get raced through. John was telling us that in their home, I'm going to tell her your tradition. In their home, when they were growing up, a minute past midnight was actually Christmas Day, so they were allowed to open gifts, you know. People race ahead to get through Christmas night so they get to Christmas Day. And I want you to see, people are racing to get to something, to enjoy something, to be entertained by something, and they miss the miracle that's in their life at that moment. Do you know, these shepherds knocking on your door were God trying to get them, trying to get these townspeople to wake up on this sleepy, cold winter's night, to wake up and to go rushing in to look just as they did, and it didn't stir one of them. The skeptics are there. It's amazing how shepherds will believe, harlots will rush, sinners will plead to go and see Jesus. Folks, it was a treasured night. After all of these things are going, the fact that all of this has been taking place, it says this, but Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Oh, I went too far. I'm supposed to have a treasured night up there. Just hold on.
It's there.
Is it there?
It's on there.
Oh, I missed it around. All right. Technology is great. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Even though only a few people celebrated that first Christmas night, still Mary did something priceless. And let me just say this. She took a few minutes, maybe half hour, I don't know, but she just sat back and she just took it all in. Everything in its simplicity. Tell me, come on in. Everything, quickly. Everything in its simplicity. That was happening around. Again, the fact that these shepherds had come. And Mary and Joseph hadn't said anything to anybody to say, we're going to have the Son of God. You know, they weren't telling anybody. And yet here these things were happening. Here, the troubles of that night were weighing down, I'm sure, on Joseph. But Mary sat back and said, God is good. This is God. And Mary pondered everything in her heart. Do you know, she took in every smell. She took in the shimmers of that starlight that night. She tried to memorize every sound, especially the sight of that little baby in her lap. Take time to have a merry moment this Christmas, will you? I know the kids, it's going to be like pulling teeth to get them to slow down. Probably some of you have husbands that won't slow down either. Give me my present. But hold them back. Find out where the gift came from and then thank them. Take a moment and realize how good God is at that moment around your family, in your home. Do you know, Barry's Tea, I listen to those ads all the time. Turn the moment golden. You know, I think they got that from the Christmas story, amen? Grab your cup of tea, take a good look at the kids playing, at everybody happy and just going, this is a gift from God. It's a miracle, amen? It's a miracle. You know, if you're saved this morning, it's only by the grace of God. It's the fact that God loved you and gave such a Son as Jesus. Don't miss this chance to hug on your family. And I mean, when you hug, I mean hold them there for a little while. Amen? And they start squirming and don't let them go. Amen? And if they're stiff, say, I ain't letting go till you hug me back. Amen? Don't laugh. It's Christmas. Amen? We need this. You need to have one of these pondering, serious, sober, awesome moments in your home. You know, you have that at church too. You don't have to go hugging everybody. But you can go around and just tell somebody you love them. Just look them in the eye and say, I haven't told you this in a long time, but you're special to me. I appreciate you and your faithfulness. Or I just love you. Have one of those merry moments. Take time this Christmas for treasuring what God is doing in your life. And then it's a transforming night. You know, this night was so real. This is not like Santa Claus coming. This was real. This is, somebody was complaining. I read this story there. How many of you know in New York City there's a big street called Fifth Avenue? And about two or three Christmases ago, this reporter was going around saying, what do you think of Christmas? What do you think of Christmas? And this woman gave out seriously bad. The traffic, the mayhem, just here we are in New York City. I hate Christmas. Now what was cool was there was somebody else right next to her and leaned over in the thing and says, you know what's funny? A little baby, born born in a barn 2,000 years ago, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, stops traffic in New York City 2,000 years later. Amen? Do you get it? That little baby, that night changed everything. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Amen? This night changed everything. It's a transforming night. It was so real. There was true worship, simple worship. There were no halos on anybody's head. The choir of singing that was going on there over the shepherds was ringing in the shepherd's heart now. Don't wait for angels to sing the Christmas carols. You sing them, amen? This thing was the proof that Jesus had come to save us from our night. There in verse 20, let me just read this last verse. And the shepherds returned, listen to this, glorifying and praising God themselves for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. That night changed everything. I believe it changed Joseph and Mary. They never would have imagined what was going to happen. Their life was never going to be the same. Would you agree? Having the Son of God in your home. It changed a bunch of shepherds again. It changed them from rednecks, from recluses, from rebels, into vibrant preachers of the gospel. That I bet you for weeks on end out there in those fields they were singing. You know, revival comes when you get close to Jesus and when you have a Christmas Eve experience. It changed that town. From that night on, there was revival preaching going on by those shepherds still saying, "Did you see him? Did you see him?" I remember when I first started going to church, I was 17 years old. It was the first time I ever went to church on my own, with my own decision. There I was, and somebody came up, you know, welcoming to church and says, "Hi, I'm John. What's your name?" And I go, "I'm Craig." I go, "Great, Craig, are you a Christian?" Somebody else would come along and, "Hey, Craig, you saved. Hey, Craig, how long have you been a Christian?" You know, you're going to get under conviction after a little while going, "What does that mean, to be saved?" You know, it's just good when people start acting like shepherds and saying, "Have you seen him? Have you met him? Did you see him? Did you watch him? Did you see just how beautiful he was? I know Martin's baby's handsome. Jesus was beautiful." Amen. It changed several wise men over in the east, and it brought them on a 600-mile journey to worship the King of Kings. Amen. It changed Israel. Israel as a nation began looking for the Messiah once again. By the time that John the Baptist began to preach, they were starving for the promised Son of God to show His face. It changed Israel. And you know what? It changed me. 27 years ago, Christmas Eve changed me. I didn't get saved on the Christmas Eve. I think it's a great time to get saved, amen? Any day. But you know what what happened was, because of Christmas Eve affecting someone else, they were able to give me the gospel story and tell me about Jesus who was born for sinners. And how He'd come to save sinners like me. And on the 15th of June, 1980, I let that Christmas Eve change me, save my soul. Have you let it change you? Take a good long look at the facts. You and I were born messed up. Amen? Seriously messed up. It's called sin. And it can't be washed away with baptismal waters. It can't be ignored. Sin can't be balanced out with good works. Our sins separated us from God. Take a good long look at the facts. We're in trouble with God. We break His laws. We're sinners. But then take a good long look at Jesus. Just who He is and what He came to this world to do. And heed these words in 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I fit that classification, amen? To save sinners. Take time to talk with God this Christmas. Tell Him you agree with Him that you are a mess and that you desperately need His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you desperately need Him as the only one who came to save your lost soul. Tell God you want to follow Jesus now. And you ask for God's forgiving power at Christ's expense. Will you now? It changes the hardest and the lowest and the toughest. Amen. Christmas. I invite you to stand with me now and pray with me. Let's all stand and let's bow in prayer. If you already are a born-again child of God, not because of your good works, not because of your wealth and worth and talents and abilities, but because God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son as the first Christmas gift, that whosoever not get baptized, not joins the church, not keeps the law, but listen to these words, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're born again, you know what Christmas is? It's a time to slow down. Skip the rush now. Take time to ponder what God has been doing in your life and in your home. No matter how rough it may have been this year, God is still there, amen? And God, in His timing, makes everything beautiful. Take time to ponder that. If you know that you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, but only a Christian in name only, I invite you to heed these words. John 1 says this, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They didn't want Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The very children of God. He gave us the power. Even to them that believe on His name. Romans 5:8 says, But God commendeth His love toward us. He freely gave His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 2 Corinthians 6 says this, For He saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, have I even helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You know, it would be good to get the gift of Christmas today. You know what? Then from then on, Christmas is every day.
Amen.
Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for these precious people who gathered. And I pray, Lord, help us to have a good eye to what You're doing in our life. It's no accident that folks are here today, in this place, hearing this message. You don't want anybody to go to hell. And there's no reason why anybody should if they would just take the Savior. They can choose to be like the shepherds and believe the Word. Or they can choose to be like the skeptics and pass over and go on back to their lives and back to their entertainment, back to their busy schedules and miss Christmas. Oh, I pray no one misses Christmas this year. I pray that every person in this room would search their heart and examine themselves to see if Christ is in them. Not because they're in a certain church, not because they prayed certain prayers, but because they agreed with God and they said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save my lost soul. I come to You now, broken and messed up, and I ask You to change me. Don't leave me alone. I need the gift of God, which is eternal life. So Lord, I pray somebody in this room, several people, will take Christmas serious. Because of the special singing, the cantata, which was marvelous. Those songs were special. But now we've heard Your Word. I pray someone gives their heart to You now. Yields to You. Lets You save them. The rest of us. Oh, may we be like those shepherds. May we not worry about anything else except people coming to see such a sight. To know such a Savior. He's worth it. Don't let us be embarrassed. Oh, may we love You like that first day. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we get the lights now, I'll ask you to grab your song book again. And we're singing Joy to the World. Number 10. Joy to the World. Alright, if they're not enough, just share. And let's sing it, amen? Let's really, really sing it out. Joy to the World.
Song here. We can make it come up here. Angels we have heard on high. Number two.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous dream. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous streams prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Come on now. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Seated for one moment. I want all of the choir to come up real quick. Come on up, Mona. Michael, all the choir, all those who sing. Come on up, come on, come up. Come on, girls. Sarah, where are you?
Petrelia.
Tatiana. Johan J. C. How are you, John? Get up there. Many thanks to John. There's a lot of work, would you agree? And everybody doing such a good job, but they did fantastic. Let's give them a hand. Amen. It was wonderful, wasn't it? I hope that before you leave, we're going to have tea here in just a moment. But Nita, if you'll go and get that for me there real quick, make sure he's coming. And we're going to have tea here and stay around, shake their hands, tell them it was good, because there's a lot of work that went into doing this. And I really appreciate all of the music, the special, special times. Some of you heard some songs you never heard before, did you? It was wonderful, wasn't it? Were you glad you're here today?
Yep.
Isn't it a blessing? Well, you know what? Folks, you can come sit down now. Just as the tea is coming. Let me just tell you, this is church day. Normally on Sunday, we have church Sunday morning and then church Sunday night again. We have Bible study, but we don't have Bible study this evening. The next time we'll meet is on Tuesday. What happens Tuesday? Think?
Christmas!
That's right. So it's Jesus' birthday, so we gather here just from 11 till 12, and we're just going to sing, and we're going to have mince pies, and we're going to have fattening cream, and we're going to have tea and coffee, and but we'll just be here, and a short message from the Word of God, and just, boy, so get your presents opened at 6 a.m., get here by 11, we'll be through by 12, then you go home and get ready for that big meal, amen? So, then there's no Bible study on Wednesday, that's St. Stephen's Day, spend some time, go and visit around, but our New Year's Eve meeting is Monday, that's Monday week from now, the 30th of December. We're going to have loads of fun and mystery games you've never dreamed of, and activities, that will be Monday week. So, the New Year's coming up fast. It was fast this year, wasn't it? Amen. Lumi says, not fast enough. That baby didn't come fast enough. But I tell you what, don't forget to go around and look at this gorgeous baby. Man, Martin looks better than you. That is for sure. Amen. We love you, Martin. Okay, so, let's all stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Did you guys check out the Christmas humor? Some of these are great. One guy said, last Christmas I got my wife a gift certificate. She went right out and tried to exchange it for a larger size. I've learned what the word Yule means during this time of the year. Your wife says, you'll buy this and you'll wrap that. And I do. Let's bow in prayer. Let me see, Martin, with that precious gift in your hand, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Father, we thank you for the precious gift of Christmas. Help us to not get involved too much in the material things of this world, Lord, but just have a loving spiritual Christmas.
Yes.
Where our joy is. There's peace, and there's kindness, there's love. And Lord, we pray that you manifest yourself to us this Christmas and help us to love you back.
Yes.
You so much deserve. And we pray for the visitors that came here today.
Thank you, Lord.
A special blessing. And Lord, that you be changed.
Amen.
Get closer to you to realize how great you are.
Amen.